Hi, boys and girls. We've been putting some miles on our imaginations this week, haven't we? We started out in Mexico, then we went to Spain, and after that, we went to Uganda. We've seen a lot of contrasts. We've seen people in big cities and in tiny mountain villages. We've seen people who live very comfortably and people who live in very difficult circumstances. But in every place, we have met people who love the Lord and who are trying to reach others with the gospel. We've found lots to pray about, too. For Mexico, we're praying for a free Presbyterian seminary and for help for the men who are studying to be ministers. And we're giving to help with their books. For Spain, we're praying for more workers and for the internet outreach. For Uganda, we're praying for the salvation of the students at Emmanuel Christian School and for a pastor for the church. Today, we're going to a land that is divided into two parts, two very different parts. In the one part, people enjoy a very high standard of living. They are free to pursue their hopes and dreams. More importantly, they have religious freedom and can worship God without fear. In the other part of the land, it is an entirely different story. Because of its system of government, the land is very poor, and many of its people have starved to death because there have been times when there wasn't enough food. The people have no freedom. The government tries to control everything they do and even what they think about. People spy on their neighbors and tell officials if they are doing anything the government wouldn't like. There is no freedom of religion, and people are imprisoned and even put to death for worshiping God. How did these two parts of the same land get to be so different? It is a long, complicated story. Before I try to explain it, let me tell you that the land I'm talking about is the Korean Peninsula in East Asia. The Korean Peninsula is bordered by China to the northwest and Russia to the northeast. Japan is to its east across the Korea Strait and the East Sea. If you look at this satellite picture of the Korean Peninsula at night, you can see evidence of how different the two countries are. Look at all the lights in the south. Now look at the north. Do you see how dark it is? That's because there is very little electricity there. Before I tell you how the Korean Peninsula became a divided land, let me tell you about a wonderful thing that God did there way back at the beginning of the 20th century, before the land was divided. In 1907, the Lord sent a mighty revival to Korea in answer to the prayers of missionaries and the first Korean Christians. The revival changed the country, and the church grew rapidly in numbers and in holiness. Mr. Stephen Lee's great-grandparents were among the first Christians in Korea. In this picture, his great-grandmother is holding a Korean New Testament. Shortly after this revival, however, the Japanese invaded Korea and stayed there for 35 years. The Japanese invaders were cruel to the Koreans, especially to Korean Christians. The Japanese wanted everyone to worship their false gods. Christians who refused to bow to them were imprisoned, and many were killed. It wasn't until the end of World War II, when the Japanese were defeated by the Allied forces, that Korea was freed from Japanese rule. However, the suffering wasn't over for Koreans, because after the war, the Allies divided the land into two sections, with the Communists taking over the northern part. A sad fact about the Korean Peninsula is that the Communists in the north shut that part of the country off from the rest of the world and persecuted the Christians who were still there. As a result, many Christians fled to the South, where there was freedom and they could be safe. But in 1950, the communists in North Korea invaded South Korea. They wanted to take over the rest of the peninsula and make it communist as well. However, with the help of the United States and some other countries, the communists were driven back, and the two sides agreed to stop fighting. A peace treaty has never been signed, however, and tensions between the two countries are still very high. The threat of war starting up again is very real. As I said before, North and South Korea are very different places. After the Korean War, South Korea grew quickly and prospered. Its capital, Seoul, which is home to 10 million people, is one of the most economically developed cities in the world. Even though South Korea is very prosperous, it is also one of the most dangerous places in the world. Seoul is only 25 miles from the North Korean border, the place where the largest number of military troops and weapons in the world stand ready for war. About half the population of South Korea lives in or near Seoul. Since so many Christians fled to South Korea to escape the communists, it became a predominantly Christian country. For a while, the church in South Korea thrived. The gospel was preached and people were saved. Those people in turn sought to see their families and friends won to Christ. A sad fact about South Korea is that over time the church became very weak. The people didn't have a good understanding of Bible doctrine and were susceptible to a lot of problems. Even though there are still a lot of churches in South Korea, because of compromise and corruption, they have lost the respect of the people and have little godly influence anymore. Our missionaries in South Korea are Reverend and Mrs. Seong-Kyu Lee. Mr. Lee came to the United States to study at Bob Jones University. While there, he learned about the Free Presbyterian Korean Church here in Greenville and began attending there. He became convinced that the Lord wanted him to start a Free Presbyterian Church in South Korea, and that is what he has been seeking to do since he and his family returned there in 2015. The church is Gwangmyeong Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Seoul, South Korea. The church has services on Sunday and a Wednesday prayer meeting. They also have Bible study and fellowship meetings for college students. They meet in a study cafe, which gives the students opportunities to bring their friends. The church also has a book club to which they invite their friends and neighbors. They read and study books about the Bible and discuss them. It gives them good opportunities to witness to others. Finally, the church has a website and YouTube channel. In the past, Christians in South Korea have been able to knock on the doors of people's homes and talk to them about the Lord, or they could pass out tracts in the street. But today that won't work, so they concentrate on witnessing to the people they already know, their neighbors, unsaved family members, fellow students, and so on. They also realize that their greatest assets in spreading the gospel are prayer and the Holy Spirit. Pastor Lee says, "Our greatest weapon is the work of the Holy Spirit. Please pray that God may show us mercy so that he will once again work in our country by his Holy Spirit." It was the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer that brought the revival in Korea way back in 1907. That is what is needed in Korea today, and that is what Mr. Lee believes God can do. So we have seen two main sad facts. In North Korea, there is no religious freedom. Christians are persecuted. We don't even know how many Christians are left in the country. In South Korea, the church is weak and corrupted. Here are our prayer requests for the Korean Peninsula. First, pray for the gospel to spread throughout North Korea despite the efforts of the communists to wipe it out. Second, Pray for the church in South Korea to be revived. Pray especially that their young people would be truly converted and live their lives wholly for the glory of God. Tomorrow we'll be wrapping up our week of mission trips. Instead of going to a different country, I'm going to tell you an exciting story about someone who escaped from the communists when they invaded South Korea. It's someone in our church. Be sure to come back tomorrow to find out who it is.